Hello again. This is Scott Patton and Jan Jansen with Voice Podcast Training. Or is it Podcast Voice Training? Doesn't matter. We can put it in whatever order we want because we're the producers, the editors, and the hosts.
There you go, Scott.
But if you want to actually find us, you have to go to podcastvoicetraining.com. We have a great topic today, and it's going to be all about volume. Right, Jan?
Absolutely.
So, tell me about volume. Are you talking about like lots of stuff or sound?
I'm talking about, actually, it's funny because probably most people don't even think about volume as being something you can talk about for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But you truly can. Because if you've ever been to a speaker where they have had an irritating level of volume, either that you can't hear it, or that it's too loud.
It's almost like they're shouting at you.
It's almost like they're shouting at you. Then all of a sudden you realize that it truly is important.
Right.
Okay? Now, most of the professional speakers that you hear have got this issue dealt with. However, they didn't necessarily start out that way.
Right.
And that's why, although you may not be aware that they've practiced this, it really is important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you want to start out and you're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, a couple of things. One of the questions that I loved in some of the material that I was referencing is, how can you tell whether the volume that you're using is suitable in a given situation? You look at your audience.
Right.
Right. If your audience is sleeping on you, then you know that your volume is not appropriate.
Oh, that's interesting.
If you know that your audience is uncomfortable or squirming or people are actually leaving, it may be because you're too loud.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of it slightly different. I was thinking if you've got an audience of 10 people and you're projecting like you have an audience of 5,000 versus if you've got 400 people in the room and you're talking like there's 3 people in the room.
Yes, right? And that's something that you absolutely have to take into consideration. So it's your circumstances. So it is who makes up the audience and how many people make up the audience. So it comes down to the circumstances. So you may need to speak louder if you are in a large group, simply because there's so many more distractions. Anybody who's ever sat through a workshop knows you have people getting up and going to the bathroom that kind of thing, or people bringing in drinks or whatever and food, and people coming and going and latecomers. There's a lot of distractions. In order to hold attention at that level, you simply may have to raise your volume. The other thing is I've sat through many conferences where there was children and babies.
Right.
So
that's distracting.
That's very distracting. A matter of fact, I'll never forget living in Ecuador, and we were having one of our meetings in a building that we were in the process of building. It wasn't finished. Being a third world country, you move in as soon as you've got a roof and walls. Well, it was a tin roof. And when the rains hit, as they did in rainy season, literally even with a whole amplification system, we would have to stop and wait for the downpour to pass.
I could see that being kind of noisy.
It was definitely. So although probably in a first world country, developed country, you're not going to have that, you still have to take into consideration there may be circumstances like...
Yeah, I was I was teaching it at a university one day. It was a one-day class. It happened to be in a university. And we just got started, and a jackhammer started.
Yes.
In the second floor above. I'm sure it was like the room above me, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, as soon as it would stop, and I would start, because I thought it was done, and then it started again. And when you're in a situation like that, one of the rules that they told me was, you can call a coffee break whenever you want. So it was like 9 o'clock, we were supposed to start. 9:05, we actually did start because of some other issues. And 9:10, I called the first coffee break, went and found whoever was in charge of the building, and said, like, you have to stop them,
right? You have to do this, absolutely. And the other thing is I'll never forget being in front of probably close to 200 people in a very large room, and because we had display tables, and my sound system wasn't working. And so I had my assistant go out and call the hotel management, but it took them a good half hour to deal with this. So in the meantime, I had to be able to project my voice without amplification.
Right.
So there are going to be times when you need to take this into consideration. Life is not perfect.
Yes, that's right.
So you're going to have fire bells, you're going to have jackhammers, you're going to have babies crying, you're going to have people talking. And so that's something that you need to take into consideration. So those are some of the things. The other thing is that you may need to speak up when you want to command attention.
Right, absolutely.
If you have something that's really important to say, or there is a command that you want to say, then it's not the time to go, so don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's the time to say, so the lesson in this is don't do that.
Right.
Right.
So now we're talking about using volume throughout your presentation when everything is fine.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the varying the pitch.
And varying, and that will work into a lot of the things that we've talked about as well. So you do need to note in your as you're going through your notes and you're going through your preparation, are there times when I am going to want to speak up and speak louder?
Yeah.
Is this going to call for, are there going to be times that automatically will call for it? And sometimes because of nerves, you may not be aware of it. So you
right.
may want to know, okay, volume up.
I know the first few times I got up in front of audiences, I wanted to get up, say what I had to say, sit down, right? Probably not that effective.
No, probably not. That's a good observation, Scott. Thank you for you saying that. So there will be times, and you do need to know that. There'll also be times when you need to really be softer. If you're telling a story, for example, there'll be times when using softness. If I'm talking about my life in Ecuador, for example, and I'm telling a story about some of the circumstances, there'll be times if I'm talking about the poverty or the heartache or some of the sadness that I certainly did see living in that country, it's not the time to be speaking louder. Then it's a time to soften my voice
right.
and to sound much more sympathetic and empathetic. It's not the time to say, and she was bleeding and she had been beaten. It may not be the time
right.
to say that.
Right.
It may be the time to say, and she was bleeding and there was blood everywhere. And when I knew that it was, you know, her husband that had done this, that was what really hurt. That's when to really drop
right.
my voice.
Huge okay? power in doing that.
Huge power in doing that as well as to raise your voice.
Right.
So the other thing is that if you do have a very soft voice, it can come across that you don't have any conviction or you're not prepared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So
it's hard to be passionate when you're talking in a monotone, you know, a low volume, right?
It's very hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. So people may just assume then that you don't really know what you're talking about, which may be the last thing,
mm-hmm.
the furthest thing from the truth,
right.
quite frankly, Scott. There's some brilliant people out there
yes.
that have a lot to say and a lot to share. But if they're coming across with that soft-spoken voice, then people may just assume, wow, they don't know what they're talking about. So you will be judged.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. You're going to be judged maybe as soon as you're a public speaker. You're going to be judged.
That's right. That's right. That was our number one lesson. When you stand up there in front of people, they're judging you like crazy.
They are. They're noting your color of your shoes and do they match your socks. And if you're a woman, you know, what does your makeup look like? I mean, you don't get away with
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get away with faking it or being not bang on with your volume. The other thing is that part of the reason that people don't have the volume is because they haven't learned to breathe.
Right. Absolutely.
So you need breath to create volume.
Yeah.
So if you haven't been breathing properly, you will find it is impossible to get any amount of volume out of your lungs. Also, if you're stooped over in any way, it will be more difficult. It's more difficult to get volume if you're sitting than it is if you're standing.
That's right. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a big one. So if you are standing and you are standing erect and your lungs are full, then you will get the volume. If you're not, then you really need to think. You need to be filling the lower part of your lungs in order to have sufficient air to create sufficient volume.
And one of the easy ways to do that, too, is to relax. Because if you're very, very stressed...
You mean you're going to be up on stage and you're going to be relaxed? Oh, my goodness, God, that's asking a lot.
Well, what you can... Actually, it's really funny because Jesse James, who was doing these podcasts with me before,
right.
he was all about preparation before you got on stage.
Absolutely.
Right? And to relax, and to deep breathe, mm-hmm. and center yourself, and all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how everything just kind of comes around, right?
Yes, it does.
Because if I don't take time to relax, to take time to deep breathe, and, you know, move my arms around, and get, you know, kind of the kinks out and everything else, and I'm at a huge disadvantage when I step on stage, right? It's just like if you were a world-class athlete and you didn't warm up. Can you imagine, the fastest runner in the world just kind of getting out of the taxi, putting on his shoes, running shoes, walking up to the track and getting down? He wouldn't even consider doing that, right? They warm up for probably an hour before they actually get going, right? So that's part of the preparatory time, really important.
It is, and I know that before I get on stage, I will always, no matter, I'm one of those speakers that loves to mingle with my audience. I love to have that bonding so that when I get on stage, they already feel like we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try to spend time beforehand talking and welcoming and greeting and getting to know my audience. But always before I'm on stage, I go off by myself and I get into that place so that I really am in a place of feeling fabulous. The other thing is that if you can use volume to stimulate people to action. If you're going to say to people, I want you to go to the back of the room now and buy my book.
Yeah, oh, I can't wait, Jen.
You're going to be going, is that this year or next? Right?
Yeah, that's right.
But if you say, right now, this is an urgent call. It's a time-limited offer. Run to the back of the room and buy my book. Because you will have, if you've enjoyed today, you are going to love my book, or you're going to love my program, or you're going to love my whatever. Then you need to raise your voice.
Yes. That's
And that comes back to childhood, Scott. Yeah. When our mom wanted us to do something,
she raised her voice.
She raised her voice.
And we ran.
And we ran. Okay? So this is the programming, actually, that has been installed in us from childhood.
Very sneaky.
Very sneaky is that when we are told, do this now.
By an authority figure.
By an authority figure, which we should have established ourselves as during our speech.
Right.
Then we say, go and do this. Then our mind goes, oh, I need to go and do this. Because it's just like mom.
Yeah.
Just like mom. And boy, you knew the repercussions if you didn't do what mom said.
That's right.
So it was like, clean up your room now. Yeah. She didn't just say, can you please go clean up your room? It would be really nice if you did. Because any mother that does that knows they get nothing done in cleaning the room.
That's right. Okay?
But if she stands there and says, you need to clean up your room and you need to do it now, we know immediately it needs to be done. Yeah. That same technique can be used. But, of course, you need to smile when you say that. You don't want to sound like mom, but you do want to sound like mom. So you can sound like mom if you do it with a smile.
Right.
And do it with a good intention, because that's going to come across and good energy as well.
Right.
So, you know, those are just some of the things that I thought were fascinating as I did my research in the subject of volume, of the fun you can have with it. And I think when you can tell a story, it's one of the last ways that I think is so, I've been reading a particular story to a number of my clients, and when I do, I use all the different, I don't do different voices, I'm not that gifted in this arena, but I do use different volume, different pace,
and different
pitch as I'm telling the story. So there's a child in this story, and so when I do that, I raise my voice and I'm excited and I talk like a child, and then there's gods in this story, and so it's like then it's a much deeper voice, but it's much more, there's a different volume to it.
Right.
And people just hang on this story, and it's about 10 minutes.
Oh.
And they just hang on this story, and they just, the end of it, they feel like it takes them back to childhood, is again that they've been read this story.
Yes, people like that.
People love it.
Yeah.
And so when you're telling the story, you may not be talented and gifted in using very different voices and different accents, but even using volume.
Yeah, to distinguish the
different voices will be very, very effective.
Right.
So just to summary, you want to use it to hold the attention, to stimulate to action. You're going to have distractions, that's life, to command attention when you're going to say something important.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to be soft and when you want to come across in a sympathetic or empathetic way, then you also need to adjust your volume accordingly.
Right.
So there you go.
All right, so we're going to adjust our volume right now and say thank you all very much for joining us for this podcast. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to be with us. If you have any questions, leave a comment at podcastvoicetraining.com and we'll see if we can't answer them in a future podcast or reply. And Jan, is your free report still available?
It is.
For a limited time only?
Yes. This is it.
Go right now
to janjansen.com/podcast. I'm actually going to be changing the offer by the end of the month. So
the end of what month?
The end of September. So
2006. Because this is on the internet. We don't know when you're going to hear it.
So it's going to be September 2006. So that offer will be coming off at the end of this month.
So it is
a bonus ebook called 10 Mistakes Entrepreneurs Make That Cost Some Time and Money.
Great.
So it is
really good. Really good report.
I do. I sell them for $27 and people buy them. So there you go.
Just for being a
podcast listener.
That's right. Thank you very much. This is Scott Patton and Jan Jansen saying
goodbye.
Goodbye.